welcome back to a brand new episode of The Dish with Tish. Y'all, we are still recovering from this Sunday. We are marked safe from White Lotus and Real Housewives of Atlanta. Oh my goodness. It's truly, I'm still processing, honestly. I am finally feeling, you know, at peace after Sunday. Oh my God, I know Bravo and HBO like don't talk to each other, but I'm like, y'all, you can't be doing this, you know? You got people's lives on the line. You've got people's lives on the line. Also, if you haven't listened to our White Lotus episode that we dropped, you're getting two helpings of The Dish with Tish this week, honey. Not one, but two. We've got our White Lotus episode that just dropped, so make sure you listen to that after this, if you haven't already, to hear our fan casting and final thoughts of season three. Well, let me also say, you might be like, oh, is she just by herself? Is she just talking her shit? And you'd be absolutely correct. You'd be correct. Because I, you know, the universe is just doing its thing. And life be lifing. And our guests had to cancel last minute. And I said, don't worry, boo. Don't worry, boo. I got this. Because I got a lot of shit to say. Okay? So here we are. I said, I got to talk to my dishers. I got to talk to everybody because this is almost like me being able to talk to all of my group chats, all of my friends at one time, you know, just people who want to dish. So I couldn't let y'all down and not do the episode. Alas, here we are. I was telling my editor and bestie, Miss Megan Flood Creative on Instagram. And I said, I'm about to be long-winded like Miss Gabby Windy, our lesbian queen, long-winded queen. We have to talk about the twirl heard around the world, Miss Kenya Moore. Ooh, we didn't need more, we needed less. How about that, Miss Kenya? Oh, Lord, have mercy, y'all. I mean, it's so much to get into with this. I mean, I just feel like, you know, we're only five episodes in. Like, we need y'all to work together, you know? Like, it's been really nice up until this point because the drama that has happened has equally dissipated between the women, you know, like Kelly and Portia have moved on from their initial, you know, interaction and fallout. They quickly picked that up, as we've talked about before. And Shamia and Angela squashed their battle of the noses, you know, and I know a lot of people feel a lot of different ways about the situation with Kenya and Britt. And I do feel like Britt should have been disciplined in some kind of way. You know, I don't think it is necessarily fair that Kenya was immediately kicked off after being threatened by Britt. But at least she did take some accountability and she tried to make things right in her own Brit kind of way. At least we were able to get that, you know, like you have to be able to put yourself in check. Like there are just some things that are truly impossible or extremely difficult to come back from. And, you know, Brit said she felt provoked after her first interaction with Kenya. And I'm like, girl, if this is your defense, like being provoked, you're talking about pistol whipping somebody, maybe Housewives isn't for you. You know what I mean? Like you're provoked over a side hug and some light shade about your wedding ring. And I'm like, what are you going to do at the reunion? Like, are you just going to bring like AR-15? Like, what are you, you're going to be provoked 50-11 times in a day. Like, you're going to have to find a new way to cope, honey. You can't be talking about pistol whipping. Like, what do you got in your purse? I don't know. I don't feel safe. So I understand Kenya feeling some kind of way. You know, I think that Britt got lucky because Kenya crossed the line further and faster than she did. You know what I mean? I don't know. Let me take a sip of water. Let me get a sip of water, honey. I'm just getting started.
You're doing so good. This is great.
I'm like, don't let me get in my zone, bitch. Oh, I'm about to start my shit. Right. So like I was saying, Britt has to find a new way to cope because I do think that she got lucky that Kenya did it before she could. You know, because God knows it could have went to another level. It could have went to a violent and, you know, who knows what she got in the bag, what's going on with Miss Britt, okay? But I think that Kenya felt validated in a way to retaliate against Britt. You know, like she said to Portia and Kelly when they went to the hair spa on prep day, like, there's nothing I did or ever said that warranted that kind of clownery. And that's objectively true, you know? But then like 20 minutes later, we see Kenya do something that nothing that Britt did was warranted. You know, I just feel like the time and energy it took for Kenya to hire a private investigator to quote unquote, do her research and find these photos, print them out, blow them up, and bring them to your event. I'm like, that's almost more disturbing to me than the actual photos. Like, bitch, how much time did you spend at the Kinko's? How much time did you spend at the Kinko's, the FedEx, Kenya? I mean, it probably wasn't you, it was your assistant, but still, come on. What are we doing here? What are we doing? This wasn't just like a cast dinner or a party that they were having among themselves, right? Like, this was a public event. It just feels like Kenya did this as a stunt on purpose, and it was a miss. Like, Britt had already left the building. Britt was gone. By the time that Kenya pulls out her fucking presentations, Britt ain't even there. Like, she didn't even reconsider her plan. Like, I'm like, the bitch has left the building. What am I doing? You know, like, she saw her leave, but she still chose to do it anyway. And I just feel like, honestly, that's just not good housewivesery. You know what I mean? I'm just like, if you're going to publicly humiliate someone and let them leave, like, girl. So that's your first big fail right there. I just feel like a part of me feels like Kenya wanted this to be like a moment for her, as much as she talked about it being a moment for Britt. I feel like Kenya has since been like, you know, so much of my stuff was cut out last season and I was barely in it, and I had this beautiful event at my hair spa, and it was a beautiful, empowering event. And I'm like, this is the antithesis of empowering, you know? And like, TB fucking H, last season was excruciating to watch. It was so fucking bad. I didn't know if they would be able to recover, honestly. Kaya was barely there. Like, all of them were lacking that last season. It was truly not the tea whatsoever. It was the coconut milk from the White Lotus. It was off. Okay? It was off. It was not the tea at all. But Kenya's still doing, like, the woe is me. And sure, some of the things that she's saying are valid. Like, they didn't focus on her hair spa a lot, and they focused on Candy's businesses way more. But also, Candy is Candy. Candy Burris is a legendary legacy at this point. Like, of course they're gonna talk about her shit because her shit, like, has results. And Kenya really has yet to prove that. Donkey Booty did not really do nothing. Gone with the Wind Fabulous eats for sure. We live, we breathe, we stand. But I just feel like her complaints on being a victim are now invalid because of this incident, you know? I don't know, y'all. I was like, I'm gonna eventually start like a Patreon, and if people want to like watch stuff with me, you can ask anyone who watches shows, and it's genuine. Like, I'm not even being dramatic. Like, this is why I love the cinema. This is why I love television, because when I'm locked in, I am locked the fuck in. Okay. And when I be watching stuff, I be pacing. I've run out of my house before. I've said this before. Editor Megan knows what's up. She's like, yes, I was there. So I have very visceral reactions when it comes to watching stuff. I was watching this, like, cringing, covering my eyes watching this. Like, it's one thing to expose Brit and be nasty or mean, but Kenya chose the most disruptive thing to do, the most disruptive way to go. And not a single person in that class. Let me take a sip of water because I can't even talk. I'm getting so hyped up, y'all. I'm just going a mile a minute. My brain is going faster than my mouth, child. Hold on.
She's like a kid opening her presents on Christmas morning. She said, I gotta get to the next one.
So funny. I'm literally like, how do I get to the next thought? How?
She's so excited.
It's sick. It's sick. But not a single person in the cast was like, period, sis. Like, you ate that. You did what you needed to do. She deserved it. You know, no, everybody left. Everyone left. They were like, oh, hell no, I didn't sign up for this. Portia said, y'all could take this fucking mic off me. The only people that stayed were Drew, because, like, duh, where else Drew got to go? Let's be real. And Cynthia, who is a real friend, shout out to 50 Cent. She's a great friend and a friend of on the show. And she said to Kenya, she was like, look, I'm going to say this real quick and then I'm going to go. I didn't see what happened, but I'm getting to know Brit and I know you, and I really hate that you let that in. And I think you're bigger than this. And then Kenya says, you're right. I am too good for this. But honey, you just ruined this for yourself. You know what I mean? I'm just like, damn. I think for me, like, what's more irritating is, it's a shame because it was an easy layup for Kenya. You know what I mean? Like, no one likes Brit. No one is fucking with Brit. No one's on her side. No one's like, yeah, she's a great addition. She's boring as hell. She kind of weird. Like, I don't know. I'm like, you were basically like subjected to and objectified and objected to and objectified. Same thing. What's the word where you are like, exposed, not exposed, exploited. You were exploited, honey. Yes, you were a teenage fucking, video girl. Like, that's trauma. She needs therapy, honestly. Like, I see Brit and I see she needs to talk to Dr. Mimi from Married to Madison. She needs the psychiatrist. She needs some, you know, and that's fine. No one is hating on that. I think she could actually use it. No tea, no shade, truly. And no one is fucking with Brit. And Britt could have left them flowers, and Kay could have said something really petty and shady and dismissed her, and we all would have been like, yes. We would have been like, clap, yes. I don't know if you can hear the clap. Let me get you the clap. Let me get you the clap. Let me get you the clap. Because we would have said, yes, Kenya, right. Britt, you deserve it because you came for the queen. You're a peasant. And Kenya could have set herself up for this to be one of the strongest seasons she's ever had. And she just fucking fumbled the bag. And it's just sad because as a business owner, you know, it's just wild to see someone behave that way in their place of work, their establishment that they built. Like, she built this from the ground up. Like, whether you were threatened or not, showing explicit photos. For listeners, if you don't know about the tea with Miss Kenya Moore, she basically showed these explicit pictures at the grand opening of her salon of Britt, one of her fellow housewives. She blew them up. Like I said, she was at Kinko's blowing up these pictures, and one of them is Britt literally sucking a dick. And she did this at her own salon opening, like this huge moment. Press was there. It was a public event. Okay, sure, they hired some extras to make it look fuller because I doubt it was as popping as it was, but it was her moment, and she literally did something so unprofessional and damaging. And I think it just makes me so sad because that moment was supposed to be about growth. You know what I mean? And celebration and launching her brand. And instead it turned into a chaotic event that drove everyone away. Like, right or wrong, how you respond, it matters. You know, like, I just feel like your grand opening of this business that you've been grinding so hard. Like, she's been talking about Kenya Moore hair care forever. We'll never forget Kenya Moore hair care coming into another hair event with a marching band. Okay. Kenya Moore walked so Severance could run. Clock that T. Clock that motherfucking T. Okay. And I'm just like, is this how you're gonna have your business be represented by you? In front of your clients, family, community? Like, why would anyone want to support that? You know, it's not just about being right. That's the thing with Kenya. Like, she, I don't know if it's like the pageantry of it all, because, you know, we know she was Miss, I think it was Miss USA or was it Miss America? Y'all let me know. No, let me look it up because I don't want no niggas saying shit to me. Let me look it up right now. Kenya Moore. What is Kenya Moore? I need to know. Miss USA. Miss USA. Okay. I don't know. I don't know if that's the pageantry of it all, of wanting about being right. But to me, it's like, that's about protecting your name, your legacy, your image for your daughter. Like, Brooklyn is so fucking cute. That little girl, like, it's the best thing that's ever happened to Kenya. That's when I really started liking Kenya, when she became a mother. Up until that point, she was truly just a villain. And seeing her have this arc and find something to put her love and, you know, into a person and pour all of her love and time into her daughter, and despite her nasty, bitter divorce, she has that beautiful baby. And Cynthia said something on when she was on Watch What Happens Live, and she said, you know, Bravo really had a vision and a plan for this season 16 cast, and they took a long time and they brought in fresh faces and the returning cast. And we see in the first few episodes that recipe was hitting. Like, it was, the stew was stewing. It was really getting ready to hit. And knowing that we aren't going to be able to see that vision the way that they had it planned. It's sad. I don't know. I just have a lot of mixed feelings about it because I do think that Kenya is a great housewife. Like, she's a legend. And another thing too, like, of course people are like going through the archives and say like, well, why wasn't this an issue when Lisa Vanderpump and Kyle pulled out the Playboy in the limo and were laughing at Camille's naked pictures? And I'm like, listen, I don't think that was cool either. Okay. Like, I don't think that was the nicest thing to do. But one, Camille wasn't sucking a dick. She didn't have a fucking cock in her mouth. How about that? Okay. And two, it was published in a national magazine. Okay. Like, being in Playboy used to be the tea. Like, people used to be proud, and that was considered a badge of honor to have your titties in Playboy. Okay. And three, they didn't show the Playboys, like, they weren't like spread eagle showing the fucking pages to the cameras, and they weren't slut shaming Camille. Like, I don't think it's the same thing. I think it's like apples and oranges. Like, this was done in a very nasty and vindictive way, and it was meant to humiliate and hurt someone, and that's taking it to another level. You know, Kenya posted a statement after the episode aired, and she was thanking everyone for their support and thanking them for helping her with the hair spa. But it's almost like she's avoiding the actual issue, you know, like, she's not talking about the situation at all. She's not addressing it. And it's like, girl, we know, what are you talking about? Like, fuck the hair spa for this. Like, you know what I mean? You blew that shit up. I mean, I'm sure it'll be okay, but it could have been, you know, you could have really turned it out. I think that's why I'm so mad. Cause I'm like, damn, you literally had this in the fucking bag, bitch. You could have ate her up, and you just had to just take it too far. Damn. Cause can't nobody stand Britt, truly. Can't nobody stand, she is so weird. And let's not forget when this initially happened, like when this all went down last summer and when the news broke that, you know, Kenya, there was some discourse, something happened on the season. And then a couple of weeks later, we found out that she wouldn't be, like, she was going to get the Sherry Pie of Real Housewives of Atlanta for My Drag Race girlies. And she was like, I have an announcement. I'm going to be live on Instagram. Make sure you're there on my page at 5:00. And I remember, girl, I said, let me clear my schedule because a bunch of shit was floating around. People were like, she showed revenge porn. She did this. She did that. And I was like, oh, bitch, I got to hear what she got to say. Let me, okay, clients cleared. I'll see y'all tomorrow, or at least in an hour. I got something to do. Let me tune in to see what Miss Moore has to say, because I want to hear more. I want to hear more, Miss Moore. And I stayed in for about 30 minutes, and she kept saying, like, I'm going to say it when I hit 10K viewers. When 10,000 people are in here, then I'll tell y'all what's going on. And she was talking about the hair spa. She was giving us a tour. And I was like, respectfully, I don't give a fuck. I was like, I don't care. Like, I want to know what happened. I want to hear about your job, how you paid for this motherfucking hair spa, and why you're not going to be in a season. And she didn't talk about it. So I don't know. I don't know, you guys. I don't know. I just don't know if she's going to be able to come back from this. I mean, I feel like maybe if Britt stays another season, they could bring her back and they could try to reconcile. Or if Britt leaves, then they can bring Kenya back. Say what you want about her, but she is a legend, and it's sad to see her go out like that. Yeah, it sucks. And I'm still super into this season, don't get me wrong. Like, I can't wait to see how they introduce Phaedra into the fold and how that's going to go. If it's going to be like a fourth wall break, like we have to bring her in, or if she just going to swoop in and be a part of the party. We'll see. Only time will tell. But speaking of Beverly Hills, like I mentioned, there is a little Erica Jayne tea. Not sure if y'all have heard this news, but Erica Jayne just can't help herself when it comes to not crediting people she collaborates with. Like, when she initially came on the show, Erica Jayne, I was like, okay, I like her. I like her a lot. And then obviously everything happened with Tom. We need to talk about Tom. And it was like, okay, now I don't know. You're taking money from innocent people who have been through this traumatic shit. That's fucked up. And, you know, I watched The Housewife and The Hustler, honey. So I know your shit. But then, you know, she somehow, I came around on her again, just seeing her be humbled and decorate her little rental and like, okay, work. Okay, I'm here for it. With her, you know, 40-inch braided ponytail eating a hot dog. I loved it. She had funny little commentary. You know, she didn't bring a whole lot, but, you know, she had good quips and I was here for it, you know, like a part of me always, she's a gay icon. So a part of me has a soft spot for her. But then I think about the shit and then I'm like, damn. And then the shit that has recently come out about her, I'm like, damn, you can't help yourself. So we saw part one of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion and Andy was complimenting her and loved her dress. And he asked her who made it. And she said, oh, you know, just some random designer. Girl, a random designer. Valdrine Sahidi is a random designer. 2.3 million followers on Instagram. It's just a random designer. Making dresses for J-Lo, Nicki Minaj, and motherfucking Beyonce, Giselle Knowles Carter is just a random designer. Girl, why couldn't you just say his name? It feels like 2020 again. I'm like, say their names, bitch. Say it. Why can't, like, I just don't understand why she doesn't do it. And then, turns out she did it again, y'all. You might as well call her Brittany because, oops, I did it again. So we know in reunion part one, Andy congratulates Erica because her song is featured in Anora. Obviously, we know Anora, Oscar-winning movie, Best Picture. So he praised her. She's like, yeah, I'm featured on it. It, you know, it's great. Yeah, she's very humble about it. Very like, yeah, you know, like, sure, yeah. I'm just featured on it. Thank you so much. Yeah. Here's the tea with that. I don't know if y'all are familiar with Miss Brooke Candy. Miss Brooke Candy is also a gay icon. I would say if you don't know, if you're not familiar with her work, she is in the same vein of like a Charlie XCX. Like, she's very club, house, like dance, hard music. She's been around for a lot. Like, I remember her MySpace days, okay? Like, Brooke Candy's been out here for a minute. And it's actually her song that Erica Jayne is featured in because, you know, gay icon represent gay icon. You know, we meet in the middle. Handshake emoji. Brooke Candy, Erica Jayne. Handshake emoji, right. So Brooke, after the reunion and Erica saying, like, yeah, I was featured in the song, being humble about it, the song in Anora, Brooke does a two-part TikTok series where she says when the song was featured in Anorica, in Anorica, we reign the Lord and he is... Ha 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 ha! Erica has, she hosts a private screening of Anora at the Grove because she's like, ooh, check out my song is in this movie for like a second period. But get this, get this. Brooke wasn't even invited. She didn't even invite the bitch whose song it was. Clock that. Could you imagine? Could you imagine being like, hey, I want to bring you on this song. And then they just fucking run away with that shit. Bitch, you're not going to even invite me to the party? Actually, give me my fucking song back, you fucking bitch. She don't got no writing credits on that. And then Erica did a whole post thanking the fans and Sean Baker and the production of Anora. And she did not even mention Brooke, whose song it actually is. And I'm like, okay, girl, this is a repeated thing that you're doing. If we remember the housewife and the hustler, this was the thing that happened with that designer as well. And those poor people went through it. Oh my God, they went through it. So I'm like, you have a pattern of not copping to things or giving people their flowers. Like, it doesn't take any more than 2 seconds to say, Brooke Candy. Thanks, Brooke Candy. Type that out, Brooke Candy. That's what, like 10 letters? Come on, girl. I know that Tom is down bad with the dementia, but you could type that up. Did you forget? Is dementia fucking transferable? No. So say their fucking names. Stop doing that shit. I don't like that. It's like as soon as she's one step forward, one step back. You know, Erica Jane. Not the tea, mama. Speaking of not the tea, the Southern Charm reunion. Okay, so first of all, was I the only one that thought it was like gonna be three parts? So when Andy's like, Shep, you wanna do your toast? I was like, oh, it's over already? Okay, that's all right. That's fine. I mean, I guess we got to it, but listen, with the reunion, I always wanna see more. I'm like, y'all could keep going. Y'all could keep going. Craig, the best he's ever looked. He is so cute. And it was distracting me, but it didn't distract me enough to know that this was not his best performance. This season was not it for Craig. I think he needs a TV timeout. Mr. Craig needs to have a seat for a minute, take a beat, you know, recoup from the breakup and mend. I just think he needs to take a bit to admit to some of his faults. And he's always just so quick to be defensive. He is always on the defense. Like, he really, that's his knee-jerk, impulsive feeling, is to be defensive. And he always is quick to put the walls up. And, you know, I just don't think he does himself any favors. I'm glad that Austin was able to clarify when he initially confronted Craig about, you know, the rift in their friendship. And it was about hanging out and missing him as a friend and not going, wanting to, like, go out with him and party with him. And obviously when Craig told him about the alcoholism, that affected him deeply because obviously he didn't know it was that bad. Like, Madison made a good point on Watch What Happens Live when Andy asked her, was Craig blind or blindsided? And she said both. And I was like, honestly, yes, that's exactly what it was. You know, like Shep said, it's important to have friends outside of your relationship. And he was so, and I understand he needed to do that because he was fighting this disease and he was trying not to drink and having Paige, like, who is very much like posted up in a crib when she's not working. you know, that was good for him. But I also think that he was a little bit delusional. And he did say that. He said that at the reunion that he was more attached to a fantasy and what could be like the future versus what's actually happening here in real time. And that's not Paige's fault. You know, like, he was living in delusion. He was in La La Land. I remember when this initially happened, like when it came out that they broke up, and I was like, oh shit, like, I can't wait to see. Gonna have my magnifying lamp from the spa pulled out, the bright lights, like, seeing if there's any breadcrumbs. But watching between Southern Charm and Summer House, I'm like, babe, the writing was on the wall. The writing is on the wall. Red fucking rum, bitch. That's your relationship. Your relationship is dead, murdered. And not by anyone. It's just dead. Like, it's just dead. It was so apparent. And I can understand, like, the one thing he was fearful of actually happened to him. And you could, like, see Paige visibly get the ick from him. Like, you could tell she got the ick. You could see seeing that shit in real time. Woof. That's hard. Like, you could tell she is just over it. She's over it. And something I'm over is Vanita and JT. Because, girl, I love Vanita so much. I really think that she is such a great addition and voice of reason. And I don't understand why she is letting this man have such an effect on her. It literally just, it's almost like Stockholm syndrome. I don't know. I'm like, he does not respect you. He does not respect you. That's just not the way you deserve to be treated as a friend or as a lover. You know, and everything that happened with them and him, you know, he claims that she ghosted him, right? JT's like, Vanita ghosted me after they had been dating for a couple months last fall. She goes to grab her phone. She comes back and she reads the text and she says she needed some space. She needed a minute to give her a couple days. And then he kept texting her, which is also a violation because that's like, okay, you don't give a fuck. You're just thinking about your ass. You don't care how I'm feeling. You just want to talk because you want to talk. You don't care about how I'm feeling. And the next day, like, he texts her a couple more times. She doesn't say anything. The next day, he went Instagram official with his girlfriend. I mean, like, what a trash ass human being. That's disgusting. I'm sorry. That's almost worse than Kenya in the fucking dick sucking pic. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't think it's that bad, but still, you know what I mean. Oh my God. That's just nasty. That's nasty work. And he's still with this girl. And I mean, I kind of get why she don't fuck with Vanita. Cause if that was my boyfriend on TV with this girl, I'd be like, excuse me, but I also would be like, I'm a head out. I'm not about to sit here and look fucking goofy while you fool around, like, while you blatantly flirt with this bitch and you're, no. So, I don't know. I don't think that Vanita painted the best argument for herself, but, I mean, I'm always rooting for her. I mean, JT, like, next, get back on the bus, bitch. Next, get back on the bus, bitch. Bye-bye. And speaking of getting back on the bus, if I'm going to choose between Sally and Taylor, I'm choosing Sally every time, period, dot. Taylor, go, girl. Give us nothing. Taylor is just, I don't know if we've had any Arrested Development listeners, people who love that show, but she is as plain as the Anne on Nose's face. That is Taylor Ann Green, Sarah Plain and Tall, child. No, she just does not do it for me. I mean, the Gaston of it all, like, Taylor is dating a man named Gaston. Sally used to date him. And this happens multiple times. These two women have dated multiple of the same dude. Okay. They are Eskimo sisters a few times over. Okay. And I'm like, okay, this has happened multiple times. Y'all are on a TV show together. So, of course, the producers, people are going to ask her about her experiences with these men. And Gaston, Taylor's current boyfriend, Sally did not have a good relationship with. And Taylor, the way Taylor reacts to it is so fucking frustrating because she's taking it so personal. Like, she's talking about their relationship. And it's like, bitch, this has nothing to do with you. This is my what the relationship I had with him. Y'all can be happy together. Good. I hope you are. I hope you are. Because I didn't have that same experience. And that's mine. So, like, get over yourself. Taylor just irks me. She really does. Sarah Planetall. So, Southern Charm, that's a wrap on that. I mean, Sally and Molly, I loved. I was such a big, they're great additions. And, you know, Molly, I really have a soft spot for her. America's Next Top Model girly, former contestant. And she just is so cool and smart. I love that tuba playing bitch. Yeah. And yeah, those are some of the dishes, the courses of the week. Oh my God. Oh, I'm almost full, but before we depart, I have to give you my dishes. I have to give you what I have been quite enjoying this week. My appetizer for this week is Survivor. Survivor was this episode really, man, we were saying last week as if it could get like this is such a great pre-merge, and man, they have delivered. I was tickled this week. I know Say has been irritating a lot for most of the season, but she cracked me the fuck up when her and Charity, when they all get to the island post-merge and they're all like, woo, and then they get the sign that says, you can look for advantages starting now, and Say is gone, and then Charity's like, I'm gonna stay on her. And when the camera work, I gotta say, the camera operators on Survivor are fucking legendary. These guys fucking eat. Oh man, they just that shot. It's see when Charity's like, oh, I see the advantage, and you see her running, and then you just see Say come out of nowhere and snatch that shit. The scream I scrumped, y'all. I literally was so tickled by that. Oh my God, I got such a fucking kick out of that. And just the post-merge has been so far so good. And Charity, I'm sorry, girl, but like, anyone who is that comfortable at tribal, I'm like, you gotta, that's what you know. You know what I mean? Like, when you know, like, if there's no shadow of a doubt that a bitch is gonna turn on you, your ass is going home, period. Like, you should never feel that comfortable. Sorry. And it was the right thing to do. I mean, it was the right thing to do. I feel bad for Mitch because I love Mitch. He's such a sweetie, but they did what needed to be done, and it really, oh, I loved it. So Survivor is my appetizer. My main course is, of course, fucking White Lotus. Literally ripped me to shreds. Oh gosh. Yeah, y'all already know how I feel. And if you don't, you can listen to our White Lotus recap episode right after this. But it was like a sweet and sour kind of situation. It was like a hot and sour soup or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, it was very bittersweet, but I loved it nonetheless. And then I'm going to say my dessert this week is a show that I started watching called Dying for Sex. And it is based on a true story. Actually, the story started as a podcast and they just developed it into a TV show starring Michelle Williams, Jenny Slate. Oh, shit. I got to look up which Duplass brother because I forgot. Pause for Duplass. Sissy Spacek. Wow. Stacked. No, but I just started watching it, and it's kind of a hard one to watch for me. It's based on a true story. A woman is diagnosed with cancer that's incurable, and she basically just wants to, like, she realizes she's never had a nut by the hand of another person. She's never orgasm through another person. And she said she gets her freak flag flying. And it is really, really sweet. And Michelle Williams, I love. I mean, that's my girl. I know she's in it. It's going to be good. Like, that's an actress that I trust. Like, I trust Michelle Williams that whatever she's in, I'm going to be interested, truly. Like, I really do trust her. Same with Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child, who's eating on Broadway and Death Becomes Her. Oh, my God. My girl. She says, Centisha, that's a beautiful name. Because that happened when I met the Michelle Williams. Which one? You'll never know. Actually, it's on TV. But yes, Dying for Sex. It's really, really good. It's fun. It's horny. It's silly. It's a good little sweet treat. I really enjoyed it. And you guys, man. Now we're stuck to the gills because we had two helpings of The Dish with Tish this week. Not one, but two. Wow, we're so fucking lucky. And I'm so lucky that you guys listen to this. Let me know if you like the solo vibe. If you like the solo vibe, we could get into it. Because, like, this was cute or whatever. Like, I kind of had a good time. I was, like, living my best life. Chit-chatting and dishing with my girls. With my dolls. Oh, my God. Please, yeah, let me know. Rate and review. Please leave us a 5-star rating and make sure you're following us at The Dish with Tish Pod on Instagram. Until next time, keep chomping down. Chomp, chomp, bitches. I love y'all. Thank y'all for listening. And I'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.